This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Hello, I'm Amy Ciara. My pronouns are she, her, and they, them, and I'm here for this week's edition of Stick Together, the only national program focusing on union news, workers' stories, and social justice issues. This program is produced in Melbourne for 3CR and broadcast across the Community Radio Network with the kind support of the Community Broadcasting Foundation, on the stolen lands of the Kulin Nation, and we pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. Today, you hear some excerpts from a live broadcast we did at our home at 3CR Community Studios for our Radiothon. We started off with ASU member Georgia talking about the ASU fight for a 35% wage increase, and following that, we heard from VAPA, Victorian Allied Health Professionals Association, Secretary Andrew Hewitt, about a protected industrial action that began at the end of May after 12 months of no movement on wages and conditions. And VAPA is calling for a 32.8% increase over 3 years. We will also hear from an ASU rally held in Darebin Council as part of ASU's push to get Melbourne Metropolitan Councils to pay their workers a fair wage and better conditions. We now turn to that interview with Georgia from the ASU, being interviewed by myself and lovely Stick Together co-hosts Annie McLaughlin and James Brennan.
We've got Georgia from the ASU on the line. G'day, Georgia. How are you?
Hey, good, thank you. How are you?
Great. Thanks for getting up and talking to us. But today you've got an action outside the Fair Work Commission, haven't you, for the ASU? Do you want to tell our listeners?
Absolutely. It's a very exciting day for us here in the Social and Community Services team. The ASU is quite a large branch of the union, but We've got a big announcement coming out today that members of our social and community services part of the branch are pursuing a campaign across the nation for a wage increase of up to 35%. And the basis of this claim is a work value case. So pursuing, you know, a case about emphasising that the work that our members do in this sector has been undervalued because the value of the work that they have done has increased over time since their wages were determined in 2012.
That the work has become more complex and demanding.
That's right, yes.
Since 2012?
Yes, so following our equal pay campaign.
Okay.
The outcome of the equal pay campaign was on the basis of gender-based undervaluation. So there was a wage increase that came from that campaign that was finalised in 2012. And since then, the work that our members are doing across the sector has increased tremendously over time in, you know, administrative duties, workload, you know, emotional distress, trauma-informed practices, the complexity of the cases that our members are seeing now have definitely increased significantly. So for those reasons and many, many more, we have just landed our work value case in the commission for the Fair Work Commission to determine a wage increase on that basis.
And that, of course, is going to mean that you're actually changing, arguing that the base wages in the SCHADS, I don't know if you call it SCADS, do you?
Yeah. SHADS.
SHADS award, you're actually going straight to the heart of the matter, aren't you? You're changing the whole rates system, right?
Yeah, that's right. So the SHADS award, like any modern award, will outline the minimum wage for a particular classification level of a worker in that you know, sector who's covered by that award. So what we're seeking is that the minimum wage that's offered in the SHADS award is increased by a percentage of up to 35% on the basis of the work value increasing.
And isn't it incredible? 35% just tells you how exploited your workers have been.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's definitely something that we're hearing on the ground, that what was once, you know, included in an induction and when you join the workforce in this sector back in 2012 has definitely increased, and the complexity of the cases that workers are seeing in this sector has definitely increased over the last, you know, 15 years. On that basis, we are of the view that our members deserve and should receive up to 35% of a wage increase.
And Georgia, you've seen big increase in union membership over the past since the precursor to this campaign was launched, and actions like mass meeting at Trades Hall in Melbourne, and in stop work actions or community kind of actions and things like that as well. Are those kind of things going to be, part of the campaign going forward as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing a really healthy and good positive growth in our membership across the union on the basis of this campaign. I think that workplaces are really having a tangible and, something that's quite relatable and felt on the ground conversation piece to be having with workers to grow the union and build membership and organise workplaces. So this campaign has definitely led a lot of growth in our union, which is really exciting as well.
You've had some runs on the board too with the Fair Work Closers NDIS wage theft loophole, making workers $16,000 a year better off.
Yes, that's right. It's a busy year for the ASU, as I'm sure it's many other unions. But there's lots of exciting, revelations that are coming through following these campaigns.
Amy here. I was just curious about. I've met workers in this sector who talk about how sometimes the less qualified but have been in the job for a very long time aren't as valued, and job classification structure issues. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, for sure. The classification structure in the SHADS award, which, is a bit of a separate issue to the campaign that has been launched today at the Fair Work Commission, but nevertheless, the classification structure is something that we have been fighting very hard for to be improved. So the classification structure is something that the Fair Work Commission looked at significantly over the last almost 2 years, identifying that people, where it was identified that gender-based undervaluation, because it's a feminised workforce, the social and community services sector, is definitely still prevalent, and that is because workers are being underclassified, because the descriptors in the award that determine how a worker is to be classified are far too vague and are being misapplied by employers, leading to extreme wage undervaluation.
Well, Georgia, good luck for today, and we'll be reporting. James is going to go down there and he's going to report. But thank you very much for being part of our Radiothon show, and we can only hope that what you get, more strength to your arm, mate.
Yeah.
Get out there.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, and thanks to Stick Together for their support with ASU and our members' campaigns this year. We encourage everyone to support community radio and donate to the show.
And that was our conversation with Georgia from the ASU. We now move to our second interview for that day with Secretary of the Victorian Allied Health Professionals Association, Andrew Hewitt.
We're going to be talking to Andrew Hewitt from VAPA, which is the Victorian Allied Health Professional Association. And interestingly enough, they are also on the warpath when it comes to not being given enough money or credit or having their conditions being eroded over time. And of course, the people who are the members of VAPA are all those people that you go to when you go to the public health system. Mm. You know, the radiographers, the people who do the x-rays, the... it's just incredible amount of people who are involved in that work, and to think that they are going for over 30% increase in their wages, it seems also incredible. So we'll get to hear from Andrew. G'day, Andrew. How are you?
Good, thanks, Annie.
Yeah,
good to hear you.
Yeah, good to hear you, and thank you very much for coming on our Radiothon show. It's live, and I was just telling people that VAPA has, you've been negotiating for 12 months, getting nowhere, and you've done some industrial action, but you're going to go into a bigger rally phase next week, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. And we've been actually bargaining for about 9 months, and that's on a weekly basis, and not getting anywhere. And finally, just last week, the government gave us an offer, and it's an appalling offer, nowhere near the mark. And so we're escalating our protected industrial action that we're going through at the moment to go to a full 24-hour stoppage next Tuesday, and then meeting in Lonsdale Street outside the Department of Health, and marching down to Parliament House and having a bit of a rally outside Parliament House to send a message to the government that, you know, this is just completely unacceptable.
Can you tell our listeners who are those people that are going to go on the 24-hour strike?
Okay, so VAPA represents allied health professionals. So that's a large section of the medical workforce that people tend to forget about, but provide critical services to the healthcare network. We cover radiographers, sonographers, radiation therapists, occupational therapists, physiotherapists, speech pathologists, podiatrists, social workers, nuclear medicine technologists, a whole range. There's many more than that as well. We cover the diagnostics, the therapies, treatments, look after patient discharges. It's a really integral part of the workforce.
Now, of course, it's a public health, and this crazy idea of small government, a 3% cap on people's wages when inflation is going wild. But we've seen that both police and nurses in Victoria have broken the government's barriers to higher wages, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. And in fact, it gets worse than that for us, because the Fair Work Commission ran a gender undervaluation case. And obviously, allied health professionals is a largely female profession. So we were part of that and presented submissions to that. And the outcomes of that were delivered preliminary in February, but more recently, the final determination. And it reflected the fact that allied health professionals have been seriously underpaid for a long period of time, and has got uplifts to the health professionals 2020 award that underpins our enterprise bargaining agreement. And so that means that to stay above the award rate, our enterprise agreement that we're currently on needs to be significantly uplifted. Now, the nurses went through a similar issue a couple of years ago with a Fair Work Commission gender undervaluation case on the aged care nurses. And as a consequence of that, the general agreement for nurses was significantly uplifted at the time. So we're saying if you can do it for the nurses, you can do it for allied health professionals as well.
And Andrew, what are some of the things you can hear from members about the impact that this is having on them, and what the kind of changes would mean to their lives if you're able to get the increase with this award change?
It's huge. It really is huge. I mean, what we're seeing in the workplace is serious workload issues. We're having incredible problems with retention and attraction. Because our members are being underpaid and under-respected, a lot of them are actually leaving the public sector. And the public sector is obviously the training ground for a lot of these people. So they come in and they do their training, and they get their experience in the public sector. And then they get poached off into the private sector, or a lot of them actually are looking at interstate, because we're also getting significantly less pay rates than interstate. So from our point of view, a good outcome here is critical to keep our health professionals where we need them, which is in the public sector, and also just to show the respect that they deserve for the important work that they do.
Well, so people want to work for public... People have a sense of public service, and it seems that this is so contrary to neoliberal approaches to offering services within a state.
You hit it nail on the head there. I mean, people don't work in the public sector unless they want to do it. You know, they have an innate caring nature, and they're giving something important back to the community, and they're not doing it for the money. But the money is really important. We've all got bills to pay, and as I said before, we're facing a serious workforce shortage if we don't make it attractive enough for them to stay in that workforce, because they will move out, and they are moving out, and that's just exacerbating the workload issues, which is leading to burnout, and it's just a serious spiral that the government's ignoring.
This is Amy here. With the state election looming, have you heard any response from Labor?
Yeah, hi Amy. Well, the only response we've really got is the offer that came through the Department of Health and BHIA on last week.
And so no one's met with you or anything like that?
Not directly, no, not directly at this stage. I mean, we have met prior
disrespectful.
To the... Well, it is. We met previously with the previous health minister before there was a changeover, but with the new minister coming in, we haven't managed to actually have a catch-up yet. So at this point in time, it's really just been through the bureaucratic channels. And that's a problem in itself in terms of the way this whole system works, is that we're working at arm's length from those people that make the decisions. And ultimately, the decisions are really being made by Treasury, and that's a big problem for us because they have no idea what we do.
Mm.
Gosh. Can you, Andrew, can you just go through again the rally on the 16th, the time and where you're going?
Yeah, no, definitely. And look, for us now, all roads lead to June 16th, which is next Tuesday. We're starting off with a meeting at 50 Lonsdale Street outside the Department of Health. And we'll have a few speakers there, a bit of a rally there. And then we're going to march down to Parliament and reassemble down at Parliament. And we'll have more speakers there. And we'll be trying to make as much noise as possible to send a message to the government that, you know, you need to respect our health, you need to fix the problems, and you need to... and pay us appropriately and fix our workload and our classification issues.
Mm. Thanks very much for talking to us this morning, and we will be down there to report.
Yeah.
Now, looking forward to seeing you there, and thanks for your support.
You're listening to Stick Together, workers' stories and union news.
No, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
No, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, broadcast around the country every week on the Community Radio Network.
For the final segment today, we now listen to some ASU rally speeches about Melbourne Metropolitan Councils fighting for better wages and conditions, followed by some lovely vox pops recorded by one of our comrades here at 3CR, Jordan from Greenweft Weekly.
Proud am I to see such a crowd. I've been to many, 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 many rallies in my time, but this is the best turnout I've ever seen, and it's... You're amazing. All of you are amazing. So, for those that don't know me, I'm Wendy Phillips. I'm from Greater Dandenong City Council. There's a few here. I've been in local government for 37 years and negotiating agreements since the beginning. And I'd have to say over the last 10 years, it has been extraordinarily difficult and impossible, actually, to get a fair outcome at the bargaining table. And every time we go to the table, what they tell us is, well, you know, we like you, we value you, we think you're great, but we're restrained by the state government's rate cap. And we hear it and hear it and hear it, which has meant that certainly in the last 10 years, our wages have gone backwards. I work in home and community care, We are some of the lowest paid workers at council. We are part-time and dependent on rosters. So all of those things come together to not always give you a livable wage, I'm afraid. It's been challenging. So we've been... we started this fight a fair while ago, and I'd have to say at Dandenong, the CEO was pretty open-minded, ran an early ballot of workers to see who supported an MEB. We won that ballot, and she immediately consented. That's nearly 14 months ago, and still we have not had, and I'm at the bargaining table, we have not had one meeting with the employers that has seen anything that looks like genuine bargaining. They are stalling, they are using, you know, all the tactics under the book, and that's why we're here today, to send a very clear message that we are not putting up with this bullshit. We are fed income. So all power to the workers, let's keep going.
Next, I'm going to welcome up to the stage Craig from Darabin, please.
Morning, comrades. It's an absolute privilege and honour to be here with so many like-minded people fighting for what we want, a fair deal, a level playing field. We're sick and tired of being treated like the rubbish that they scrape off their boot. The bottom line is, without us, they have nothing. So all of us who work at depots, in libraries, wherever we work, we are the ground force, we are the main force of the council. CEOs, executive leadership teams sit up there in their little high towers, taking all their, I'm not going to put a dollar amount on their wages, but put it this way, they pay more in tax each year than what I earn. So I've got 9 kids, yes, my choice, but no, I'm not Catholic. But trying to provide a good life for my kids is getting harder and harder and harder. It's not fair when I've got to say to my son or daughter, sorry, you can't go on that school excursion, so I just haven't got the money. A manager told me the last bargaining time we had, said, get a better paying job. I said, I choose to work here. I enjoy working here. I like providing services to the community. I said, I want to keep doing what I'm doing. All I ask for is a level playing field. All I want is what I'm entitled to. That's a fair enough wage to provide my family with the life they deserve, as we live in the luckiest country in the world, so we're told, but I'm struggling to do so. The last 10, 15 years, it's been a big struggle. He said, go get a second job. I said, I already do, mate. I work one day every weekend as a carer in the system. So I watched all my kids grow up, and the third youngest will start uni down the road there this year, trying to provide what she needs for her. University courses are a struggle as well, but we'll keep going and all that. But yeah, but we want a level playing field. We want to be able to have a, you know, a decent life as we're supposed to have. We want to get a fair wage, and some of the band levels at 3 and 4 are just absolutely ridiculous. You can't live off that. But we shouldn't have to get a second job. We should tell the state government behind us, Jacinda and all them, we want to have a go. We want to be able to provide for our families. We want to provide for Victoria, provide for Australia. But we can't do it on the rubbish you're paying us. This rate capping must go. Rate capping sounds great. It's smoke and mirrors. Where I live in Mitchell Council, my rates went up $200 the other year, and I went down questioning about it. They said, your rates are actually made up of 18 different areas.
Our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We can't do that unless they take this great bag of rubbish off the table and smoke and mirrors. Like I said, my rates went up by over $200 in 1 year. When I asked the councils about, they said, oh, your rate's made up about 18 different areas. We put up this one by 25%, this one by 8%. Once we've done all that 18 times, we then added up, and then we put that up by that 2.2%. So it's a load of crap. Smoke and mirrors is rate capping. It's just to try and keep the people in the state happy, although really they're getting ripped off the same as we are. A level playing field, fair wages for us all, and let's prove to them that we are great people and we need to be able to do that. Without a fair pay, we can't do it. Solidarity to everyone. Remember, united we will win. Good on you.
today because I support council workers taking a stand and going on strike for better wages and conditions. The Allan government has already granted a 20% pay rise for councillors and for mayors, whereas ordinary workers in the council who make all of our services tick, everything from child maternal health to childcare to the waste collection, parks, everything, these workers are left behind. They deserve a whole lot more. So, yeah, I support the workers that support us.
One.
G'day, my name's Davey. I'm a council worker working in the parks.
Yep.
I'm here today because council workers, like so many workers, have just gone backwards in their wages. This is the only way we're going to take a step forward. Rate capping sucks. Don't support it if you're listening out there. It's the way the government's used to really suppress our wages. It gives the CEOs an excuse to not pass on real wage increases. We've got to put an end to it. And I'm really pleased to be here today with all these other workers taking a stand.
Hi, I'm Liz Kelly. I'm the finance manager at Victorian Trades Hall Council, and I'm an ASU member, and I'm supporting the right for members to strike and work with councils on a multi-employer bargaining. It's part of the law. They should be able to do it.
Thanks, Heath.
Hey guys, we're here to have a big strike, and we want our 10%, and we want it now. Thank you. Peace.
Hi, I'm Liz Kelly. I'm the finance manager at Victorian Trades Hall Council, and I'm an ASU member, and I'm supporting the right for members to strike and work with councils on a multi-employer bargaining. It's part of the law. They should be able to do it.
Thanks, Heath.
I'm here because the council workers, they've just been given a shit deal, and they do a lot of really good work. They do work that's vital to the community, and they deserve to get paid fairly for the work that they do, and it's really as simple as that.
You're on Stick Together, workers' stories, union news, and social justice issues.
That's it for Stick Together this week. If you want to catch up with our program, the podcast is available at 3cr.org.au or at your favourite podcast site. You can contact the producers of the show at sticktogether3cr@gmail.com or by ringing 03 9419 8377 and leaving us a message. My name's Amy Ciara. Don't forget to show your local community radio station some love. If you want to contribute to 3CR's radiothon, you can head over to 3cr.org.au or to 03 9419 8377. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you do, there's a union for you. And until next time, stick together.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.